This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
On Joy 94.9.
Tonight, I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive.
Triple Bypass, that's Freddie fading away there. You are on Triple Bypass for another Tuesday night for a fabulous show to talk about not just bisexual stuff, but all things that are happening at this time of the year for us. It is Midsummer Festival coming up. My name is Anthony.
I'm Ruby.
Hey, I'm Jess.
And we have a couple of pretty amazing guests in the studio with us tonight who are going to tell us all about what they're doing for Midsummer, but also about the amazing work and the careers that they have in dancing and queer performance arts. So we're going to hear from Raina Peterson and Govan Pillay. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's so exciting to have you guys here. So here in Triple Bypass, we are doing a bit of a midsummer month, as it is the month of midsummer. So as well as talking to these great guys, so part of the Karma, you guys are the Karma Dance Troupe. Is there more Karma dancers?
No, that's us. Yep.
You guys are the Karma dancers? dig that. And so their show is Bent Hollywood, which is going to be on from Thursday the 25th of January to Saturday the 3rd of February this year. And this is your Midsummer Festival debut. That's very exciting.
Tis, can't wait.
So just the quick, so the names of the show and the way it was described was very interesting. A few words in there I did have to look up, and I didn't look up correctly, so I'm just going to blurt that right now. But so we have the show is described as a moving invocation of diaspora, gender, transgression, and filth. Love it.
Love
great tagline. Yeah, just got to end with filth.
Yeah.
I love that.
Tell us what that all means.
Well, I guess our show... Well, okay, step back a bit. So Govind and I, our backgrounds are in classical Indian dance. And so we're classical Indian dancers, and we're also very gay. And so I guess this show is like an exploration of how we, reconcile being... having this classical Indian dance background and being, you know... gay and slutty.
So can I ask a question about that? Because just to put this in context a little bit more as well, correct me if I'm wrong, but in Indian culture or Indian society, being gay or openly queer is illegal, if that means anything?
Yeah, so gay sex was illegal. Is illegal right now, and the act was repealed for a short period of time, but then put back in place. Mm. So legally, it's a really tough environment for people to be queer in. But those laws were introduced during the British colonial period. So the anti-gay acts and laws were introduced as part of colonization. So ancient Indian culture was a lot more tolerant of queer behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And that's some of the stuff that we try and explore in the show, because, you know, in a way we're doing things that might be controversial today in modern India, but wouldn't be controversial potentially in ancient India. So
that's amazing. How do you guys find that it feel like it fits in with the Australian culture and the Australian Indian culture as well?
I guess I've got a background in queer performance art, and so I think that has informed my dance practice and certainly our, I guess, construction of this show. So yeah, and I guess, yeah, I was born here and grew up here, and yeah, so I think Australian society and Australian queer society is a part of who we are as anything else. So yeah, I guess this show is kind of just looking at lots of different aspects of our identities, not as like separate things, like, you know, Indian, Australian, you know, Victorian.
Yeah.
Sodomy, which is laws, it, so but everything like just in one, yeah.
And I think, well, that kind of fits quite perfectly with a show that is about bisexuality, mm-hmm. and the kind of the breaking down of binaries in the first place, because I suppose when you talk about reconciling two cultures that you come from, so the kind of bicultural divide, in a way, would you think it's almost similar to when you are bisexual or, like, you know, multigender attracting people, like, okay, you can be this, but you've got to give up the other one to be a part of this fully? Is that being like, is that something that you would have experienced when you've been developing your dance stuff? Dance stuff, I say, your art. It's incredible.
Yeah, I feel so. That often people, when they read the work that we come up with, they think of it being two parts in halves, but I don't feel that way. I think that, and you know, Raina and I have talked about this a lot as we've developed work in the past, that, you know, it's fully both. So, you know, it's fully both cultures. It's fully, it's fully queer. It's fully straight in whatever way you want to see that. It's fully Australian Indian. It's fully Indian. It's fully Australian. So it's, you know, yeah, I think it's everything in full expression. It doesn't mean that, you know, it's half of two different things. Yeah.
And
it's
fully expressed.
And has this show, like, so this is kind of the build up. This is your first summer show, Midsummer. Was this show made for Midsummer? Have you been touring with the show before? Or was it something that, you know, you thought of to do for this? Is it something that you've been thinking about for a while? Where did it all come from?
I guess... This is we created this show for Midsummer, but it has its early incarnation in a 10-minute piece that we performed at the Woodford Folk Festival a couple of years ago, and that was really amazing. It was really cool. Like, we had a packed audience to see it, and people were just screaming and going off, and it was pretty exciting.
That's a pretty good reaction to have when you're on stage.
Right, because you've performed in a few places. You've performed at the Sydney Opera House. You've done Melbourne Fringe. I mean, there's a couple of big names there, and of course Midsummer coming up. So so this has been on tour, this particular performance, or these messages in this performance?
I think these ideas we've explored in different shows that we've toured around the place in the past, but this particular show is debuting at Midsummer. And I was just reflecting on that time at Woodford Folk Festival when the crowd went wild. And I remember we were waiting side stage before the show started, and we were all warmed up and we were like, right, we're ready to go. And the show wasn't getting called, and we were like, geez, you know, come on, we're warmed up, we're ready to go, ready to go. And they said, oh, we're waiting for some VIPs. And later we found out that Bob Hawke and his wife had turned up. And we were extremely excited.
Finishing his beer at the bar.
Yeah, probably was. So they turned up and became great fans and followed us around the festival for the rest of the time and the years before, actually, that we'd been there.
That's amazing.
Mm, that's cool.
Yeah, and it's actually one of her comments that inspired creating the show to some degree. She kind of said, oh, it's a bit interesting to see classical Indian dance and so much skin and burlesque and everything all at once. So I wonder how that works. And then she went, but I guess the Indians did invent the Kama Sutra, so...
Definitely want to come back to that one. Because that reconciliation between, like, you know, the strict kind of post-colonial sex and the Kama Sutra, one of the most famous sex books in the world, which came out of India.
Yes. We're going to come back to hear a lot more about that. And so we're going to go to a track. But if you, the listener, want to get involved in the conversation or you want to ask our guests a question, you can do so. How, Jess? How can they do
so? How? They can SMS us on 0427 569 949 and on air at joy.org.au to email through.
You can also find us on Facebook at Triple Bypass, on Joy, and on Twitter at Triple Bypass, and on iTunes where all the good podcasts can be found.
Right, so stick around and hear about these awesome performers and their play. We'll be back right after.
And the Kama Sutra.
The truth runs wild. Tear down her cheek, trying to save face and daddy heartbreak, lying through my teeth. This voice inside has been eating at me, trying to replace the love that I fake with what we both need. Truth runs wild like kids on concrete, trying to sedate my mind in its cage. You know what I see? A weak white eye. Yeah, I'm screaming at me, trying to keep faith and picture his face staring up at me. To me, how do I get to heaven without changing a part of me? How do I get to heaven? All my time is wasted, feeling like my heart's mistaken. Oh, so if I'm losing a piece of me, maybe I don't want heaven. The truth runs wild like the rain to the sea, trying to set straight the lines that I trace to find some relief. This voice inside has been eating at me, trying to embrace the picture I paint.
isn't a piece of me. How do I get to heaven without changing a part of me? How do I get into heaven? The truth turns wild like a tear down a cheek.
And you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Indeed you are. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. And that was Heaven by Troy Sivan. And it was a lovely, gorgeous song to listen to. And we are back in the studio. My name is Anthony.
I'm Ruby.
Hey, I'm Jess.
And we're here with our dancing and queer performing guests who are performing Karma Dance at Midsummer.
And Bollywood by Karma Dance.
Thank you, Ruby. Raina Peterson and Govan Pillay.
Thanks, Mom. So we've been previously talking about the origins of this bent Bollywood performance. Apparently, Bob Hawke is a huge fan, yes. Which I'm sure he probably appreciates all the bees too. We like a good bee, don't we? Now, so this show will be up as a podcast. If you are just tuning in now and want to know what happened at the beginning, so that'll be up later in the week, which you can find at joy.org.au/triplebypass, or where all good podcasts are found. We've also got a few other ones interesting going up over this run of Midsummer. In November, we spoke to Killjoy and their show at Destroy the Fantasy, an explosion of sequins, circus, and irreversible and irreverence backed up by an all-star live band that's running from the 24th of January to the 3rd of February, Wednesday to Saturday at 8:30 at the Melbourne Spiegel Tent. So you can check that podcast out. We've also got Yvette Temple, who was on last week, and she's the creator of the Bi-Craftanoon.
Yes.
Now, the Bi-Craftanoon is a craftanoon party for bisexuals and friends with hands-on do-it-yourself crafts with the artist Yvette Temple and a jukebox playing the tunes. Get retro and get your craft on no matter which way you go. Hosted by Triple Bypass.
We will be there.
We'll be doing it live, which will be very interesting. You can see what our faces look like as we struggle to come up with bi puns. That is on Saturday, the 3rd of February at Bombini Buzz, 2 till 5. Now, Karma Dance is coming up on Thursday, the 25th of January to Saturday, the 3rd of February from 7:30 until 8:30 at the Mechanics Institute of Performing Arts Centre. Whereabouts is that located?
That's in Brunswick.
Perfect.
Oh, best Sydney Red, spot, Brunswick.
So we've been talking about the show that you're doing, Bent Bollywood, which is looking at different themes, I suppose, of reconciling, I guess, some areas of both of your backgrounds, which are Australian and Indian, and queerness and sex. And I think the Kama Sutra was mentioned. So
a few times by you, in fact, Ruby.
Yes. This is very true.
Special interest there.
Especially, doesn't it? So in part of your description for the show, Govind, you're described as, I think, an otherwise irrelevant pretty boy whose primary function in life is an object of art. So one of the mentions you make about the show is that power play is involved. So that does have a bit of a BDSM flavour to it. Is that something that is explored in the show?
Yeah, a bit. Like, I guess power is really fun and really hot, and Govind is my pet twink and for life. He's actually a top, by the way. This show's a bit deceptive on that point.
Interesting job description. Top twink.
For the purpose of this show, yes, he's my pet twink. And so I guess that kind of relationship is something that kind of comes about in the show and in some of the items, and we have a bit of fun with that.
It'll be great to see how you guys express that power exchange up on a stage, and including with everything else that you guys are going to be expressing in your show. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Because power and sex and queerness is intense, it's complex, it's political, to perform that in front of a group of, you said, screaming people up in Queensland at that performance?
Yeah, and I think the thing about classical Indian dance and power and storytelling is that we use a lot of hand gestures and really well-developed facial expressions, which are part of our training. So it's really it's easy for us to convey meaning and depth into, say, a dance movement. And so it's fun playing with something like power as opposed to trying to tell another kind of everyday Hindu story, which is what we're trained to do, but talk about, you know, something that we experience, like sexuality and power, and really bring that out in our expressions and our faces and things, as well as dancing. And I think power also in the space of gender has particular meanings in society. And I think when you have someone who appears male and someone who appears female on stage together, there's a lot of patriarchy in dance and theatre. And we want to break some of that down because, you know, we don't think that way and we don't think the world should. And so
it's just gotten into everything, that patriarchy just spreads.
Yeah, absolutely everywhere. And so we'd really like to somewhat confuse the audience around, well, what gender is who and who's in control and what power is happening where, because, you know, it doesn't matter really.
Is it confusion or is it about asking them to think and sort of reflect and question? And I mean, I guess there could
that
be
comes from confusion,
right?
Yeah,
right,
because people, we like to know the answer to things.
It's so uncertain, isn't it?
Once and people don't like uncertainty. That's something I think you guys mentioned before, when you're looking at the kind of the blurs between the different areas you're copying, people find that a bit uncomfortable. Was that? So, like, this idea of being bicultural and bilingual or multilingual, and that people get a bit awkward about the middle ground?
Yeah, I think people just like you to pick a side. It's a bit too confusing.
What's that about?
Too uncertain. So, yeah, and I think, like, for, you know, as someone who is, you know, bisexual and mixed race and non-binary, I think, yeah, it's just kind of really interesting to experience other people's confusion on multiple fronts. And, yeah, that's something we explore in the show a bit too.
So you're just cracking all of the binaries.
Yeah.
Yes. Just one after the other.
Jealous. And there tends to be a lot of explaining to people about being non-binary and I guess unconventional, I guess, if I can use that term, particularly with your play. Do you find that you're play as you would in sort of daily life when you're talking about your sexuality and you have to having to explain terms to people, that there's a bit of explaining about this particular play, about
the show? So do you feel like people need to have much of an understanding of if Hindu culture when they come to see it, or of Indian dance, or of the Kama Sutra, again, just had to put it in there, or is it something that you can definitely experience and learn from that experience itself?
Explanation is necessary. You go in there and you just see a couple of hotties being hot. It's great. We've got, like, program notes, but I don't think you need to have any particular kind of understanding of anything to be able to appreciate it. I think something that we're good at is, I guess, because we started doing mostly classical Indian dance together, and we'd perform that in all these different places where people weren't there to see classical Indian dance. We were like, oh yeah, what's this? And I think we're pretty good at drawing people in, even if they're unfamiliar with what we're doing. Yeah.
Well, you are a couple of hotties, and I'm sure you're very talented on stage too, because we've got a question that speaks to that, actually. So we've got a previous listener as well. Mm-hmm. Kiki has texted in.
Yeah. So, Kiki, Happy New Year. Sorry if this has already been asked. My questions: what made you both get into dance and performance, and do you see it as more political or entertainment? Thanks, Kiki.
Okay, Kiki, thanks for your question. That's really interesting. So what made, personally, me get into dance is that I watched my sister going to dance classes, and my mother also used to like dancing, and I was so drawn to the athleticism, the intellectualism around how they were being taught, particularly classical Indian dance. Absolutely love that. And so I used to get my sister to play games with me about sort of dance class was what I called it, and got her to teach me in private. My mum caught us and said, would you like to learn dance, and took me to class. That's kind of what took me there. I loved it ever since. And I think I see it as a young person, I saw it more as entertainment, and I really loved it. But today I think it's got a lot of purpose around its political power. And we've really enjoyed trying to use that to send messages. Raina?
Yeah, I think, like, I guess I started, yeah, when I was a kid in country Victoria, and our parents were like, we need to get them in touch with their culture, otherwise they're just going to be, you know, squashed by all this. Yeah, ochreized. And, you know, to get a sense of, you know, I guess cultural pride in all the racism and stuff we were experiencing was really nice. But, yeah, so I started from that context. But I think politically, I don't know, like, I guess, like, like having a background in the queer performing arts scene, like me and my friends started a, two of my friends were having a problem with like the racism that we're experiencing amongst white activists. And we're like, what should we do? Should we like do a forum? Should we like, you know, publish something? We need to do something. What are we going to do? And then one of us was like, let's do a cabaret. And so we started a cabaret troupe called the Ladies of Colour Agency. And that was like really political. Actually, to the point of being a little bit didactic, to be honest. But it was great in spite of that. And, yeah, so I think, like, I have, I guess, this political art background, which has certainly informed a lot of my work. And I think, like, being people of colour and being queer people of colour, I think just having representation is really important because the art scene in Melbourne is really white. And we need to see more people of colour artists being given platforms and, you know, I guess coming from a non-Western art background, classical Indian dance, which we are, that's particularly marginalized. So I'd like to see, yeah, big changes in the art scene.
And it sounds like you guys are really doing that. You're breaking down all of the barriers, you know. It's not just about, you know, ethnicity or race or about gender identity or sexualities. It's, you're sort of hitting all of the nails on the head with your show. It's amazing.
Thank you.
I think as far as looking for representation, you know, that's something you're now doing. You're now going to be that representation. People will be able to see a place from that to move forward as well. That's really exciting.
Well, we're going to talk to Rainn and Govan after this break. We're going to come back. Stick around. You are on Triple Bypass and this is Joy. मैंने लिखा था सौ दफा लफ्जों में जो इश्क था हुआ ना होठों से बयां मैं हूँ हीरो तेरा कि मैं हूँ हीरो तेरा कि मैं हूँ हीरो तेरा कि मैं हूँ हीरो तेरा दिल दे चुके सनम तेरे हो गए
Underwood, and I tune into Joy 94.9 because I think it's beautiful, beautiful, yeah. It's so beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you, Katie. You are on Triple Bypass. This is Joy 94.9, Australia's only bisexual focus radio show.
Hell yeah.
And my name is Anthony.
I'm Ruby.
I'm Jess.
And we are joined in the studio by Ravina and Govind, who are the two dancers with Karma Dance. And we're talking about their show, Bent Bollywood, which is coming to this Midsummer Festival for a debut.
And we just heard a gorgeous track called Birthday Tribute to Salman Khan by
Sushant Digvikar, who was Mr. Gay India.
Oh, wow. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
So a looker and he can sing.
Absolutely.
And there was also a woman on there too, but we're not sure who that was.
No. But he takes most of my attention most of the time, so.
That's fair. I did see part of the video and I can understand why.
So we've been talking about your play. We're talking about Karma Dance and
the show,
I'm sorry. And it sounds very provocative. It sounds very intense. And it sounds like it gets people thinking, what are you doing to do all of that in 10 minutes?
So, like, I suppose, how did you build? So you guys talked about doing a 10-minute, this show was kind of grew from 10 minutes. Like, is this all based on that original 10 minutes or has that gone in new directions? So that was something that they did at the Woodford Festival and and Gatecrash by Bob Hawke, as you are, you know, whenever you do a show. So that was that. So that was back at the beginning of the show. If you are wondering what we're talking about, you can always find out if you download the podcast, which is available at joy.org.au. So how did this grow? What was added to it? What did you feel? Mm. Was it completely reworked or was it a seed?
I think performing it was just like a bit of a experiment for us. We're like, oh yeah, can we do this? Like, can we make classical Indian dance gay and slutty? Yes, we can.
And the crowd loves it, apparently.
Let's explore this more. And so, Bent Bollywood was kind of teasing out some things which resonated for us about our identities as queer Indian dancers. And it's quite a dynamic show. Like, I guess the thing that we performed at the Woodford Folk Festival was quite high energy and outrageous. But we've got some, you know, very beautiful, evocative moments, looking at gender and, yeah, it kind of moves quite a lot. So I guess we kind of, from this 10-minute outrageous piece, we kind of picked out the things that we thought were beautiful about our identities and ways in which our dance and dance styles can inform that, because it's not just, I guess, the dancing that informs this work. It's classical Indian dance, it's Bollywood. We've got Vogue, we're drawing on hip-hop and queer performance art and contemporary dance. There's a lot of different flavours to this show.
So can I ask, apart from the actual performance and the training for this performance and what you're offering the audience, something remarkable must be playing out in the dynamic between you both to be able to sort of present something so powerful. Like, what can you tell us about that? What's the relationship like between you both?
Pet twink.
That's what it is.
We're absolutely in love. No, it's true. It's true. I think, and it's actually really rare for us. I think if I speak from our experience, as Raina said, you know, there's not a lot of queer people of colour in the arts who do classical Indian dance, who are also queer, who are open about it, who are willing to experiment. So the fact that we found each other in this universe of 6 billion people is actually quite rare and quite unique. I don't think we could have found each other through any sort of formal process. There was some chemistry and things aligned and we met. We absolutely love each other. And we call each other our stage husband and wives, if you know, it's a bit gendered for our liking. But
well, I was going to ask, because you're both been married, but not to each other. And I think both these weddings now, I mentioned that they were quite illegal. Not as of today, where we start to see the big cab off the rank when it comes to the giant rainbow weddings that will be parading across the year. But you kind of jumped the gun on that one. So it was, you guys got, you married your partner, Govind, last year, is that right?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
So
unfortunately, fortunately my wedding was first and it was illegal. But I reckon Raina's is more illegal than mine because it will always be illegal. mine was illegal because I married my now husband of we'd been together for about 8 years at the time.
Wow.
So, 7 years.
And we decided that we didn't care to wait for politics to catch up with our love. And it was really important for us to get married in Melbourne because that's where our friends and family were. So we didn't want to run away to some other place that was politically ahead of us. Mm. So we said, look, we're having a marriage. We're going to call it a wedding. It is that to us. And so it was before marriage equality. And we had a bicultural wedding that was both Indian and Australian. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we got married and it was illegal at the time. And then Raina went off and had a way more illegal wedding.
Please tell.
Yeah. How many laws did we break at this wedding?
Well, I guess it came about because my mum was complaining to me about, she's kind of in despair of me and my sibling and our persistent lack of heterosexuality and and she's like, I just want someone to get married. You know, you don't have to like, you know, just try. You don't have to, if it doesn't last, it doesn't last. But just try. I just want a party.
She didn't want a marriage. She wanted a wedding. Yeah, she wanted a massive party.
Grandchildren.
And so I was telling this to my friends and to my mates who I'm quite close to, and they're like, let's get married. And so we proposed to each other and we said, I do.
It's like a one, two, three kind of situation.
Yeah, so there were three of us. And so
Did you all take it in turns to so that everyone got a turn to ask and to say yes?
Yeah. It was a bit messy.
So you're like, okay, on the count of three, will you marry me?
Yeah.
Your housemates, right? So you even live together.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're housemates. So, yeah, like the three of us got married in a park in the city and we had like a flower girl and we had a band playing. The band Boats played at our wedding. It was really great. One of their songs will be coming up soon. But, yeah, so we had like this polyamorous friend wedding. It wasn't even romantic. Like, I mean, my friends are quite hot, but I wouldn't, you know.
Love it.
Nice.
So celebrating a different kind of, you know, it's a platonic kind of love. That's a good one to celebrate.
It was just like
too.
A celebration of our friendship. Like, the plebiscite was happening and we're like, you know, fuck this bullshit. Like, this sucks. Let's just,
It sure did.
Yeah, it really did.
That's cool because I think it's strange the way society's structured and the things that we have formal celebrations for as opposed to others because I've got some friends that I'd love to have a marriage for to honour my
just
loyalty.
Just like a giant, like, friendship celebration party.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do it. It's good fun.
My friend married herself. That was real good.
Yeah.
That was real good. She like came down the street on Sydney Road on her motorbike and she had a giant skirt made of bubble wrap.
Oh, wow.
And her daughter was there and her sister's partner like read from the Places We'll Go by Dr. Seuss and like had like a big fake ermine coat. And,
really?
Like, yeah.
That's
it was
amazing.
Like, it was a big ceremony.
Cool. I'd divorce myself straight away. I just would not last. It would not last.
Fighting over who needs to empty the dishwasher and shit.
Yeah. Damn it, Anthony. I'm sorry, Anthony. This isn't working, Anthony. It's the one way to be bi, I guess. Like, that's what people think, is that we just marry ourselves, that duality taken too far.
You can't even go on holiday from yourself.
I know. You're stuck with yourself. That's like ball and chain to the max.
A honeymoon would be really interesting.
That'd be great because you have twice as much money to spend.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's so true.
You haven't got to share anything. It's my kind of honeymoon. Now, we did get a message in during that break. So this was, hi, crew. I'm interested in the bi people's craft fun. Can you tell the details again about it, please? I want to get my craft on. That's from Claire. Sure, Claire. So just real quick, guys, as part of our Triple Bypasses Midsummer special, which we've been doing with Killjoys and right at the moment with Karma Dance, we'll be hosting a bi craftanoon on the 3rd of February, which is Saturday at Bombini Buzz from 2 till 5. Now, that's being hosted by Yvette Turnbull, who we spoke with last week. You can check out that podcast at joy.org.au/Triple Bypass.
And you mentioned before that we're allowed to get retro. I'm totally going to wear my roller skates to that because they are phenomenal.
Be retro.
Yeah, that's retro.
Like,
yeah.
I think roller skates are pretty queer, yeah. Right? That's a thing.
I don't know how I'll go with
just
the whole
slide on past the binaries.
I think we could work.
Yeah, in a G-string.
No, maybe. So that's interesting. So for the next show, I guess.
Well, you are listening to Triple Bypass. This is Joy 94.9. We are going to be back after this. Stay tuned.
Hey, this is Ricky Lee, and I'm proud to be heard on Australia's Joy 94.9.
And we're proud to be on it. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. I'm Anthony.
I'm Ruby.
I'm Jess.
And our amazing queer performers.
We have Karma Dance talking about their show, Bent Bollywood. So that, by that we have Raina and Govin. Thanks for joining us so much, guys.
So Raina, who did we just listen to?
We just listened to the song Water by a band, Boats. And this is the band that played at my platonic friend wedding.
Illegal.
Polyamorous platonic friend wedding. It was really great. I think like having like a wedding band really elevated
makes
the
it legit.
Wedding.
Yeah. That's it. So we've been talking to you guys about this incredible show you've been putting up, you're doing, which is this kind of exploration of queerness and slidiness in traditional Indian dance, which is both your backgrounds. If you want to hear more about that, this show will be up later as a podcast, which you can find at joy.org.au/triplebypass.
What's the take-home message after coming to this play, watching it and, you know, obviously being entertained, but also having a complexity of messages being communicated throughout the show.
But you can't spoil it because it's a dance and you're on radio, so you'll be totally fine.
Right. What do you want us to notice mostly about this performance?
I think it's one thing is that multiple identities are consistent and okay. So, you know, multi-gender attraction, multiculturalism in the same person, biculturalism, bilingualism, is one of the key messages. I think also that, gender is non-binary is a really strong message in various ways, and I think that's something that potentially audiences of Joy understand, but, isn't as prolific in the mainstream kind of language and understanding, perhaps.
I think gender is definitely the next frontier insofar as we start to move towards looking for equality. So we've now reached a point where, you know, they can't openly attack you for being gay. So they're not going to see people go after things for gender. So that's the next scare tactic. So it's really good we're already seeing people break that down and just point out how bollocks it is, because gender is so fluid. And I'm guessing there'll be some fluid moves to see with that too. So you mentioned that quickly. What were some of the buzzwords that you had around the show? So you mentioned before that there were some words that were kind of evocative of what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, so visually I think, you know, glitter, mirror balls, lots of skin and sweat, sensuality, real reverence for culture, love for tradition, love for one another, humanity, some of the kind of words that we think of when we think of the show. Is that fair, Raina? Is there other things that you see?
No, I think that's it.
Sums it up well. Yeah. They're gorgeous words, aren't they? Yeah. They're lovely words, and I think there's something, they're words that we can all relate to. There's nothing, I think we can all find ourselves somewhere in that place, surely.
I think there is a sense of universality about it, even though it is a story, you know, somewhat about us and the queer journey of children of the Indian diaspora. I think there's something there for everyone.
It sounds very rich, very rich.
And you can catch that from Thursday the 25th of January until Saturday the 3rd of February from 7:30 until 8:30 at the Mechanics Institute of Performing Arts Centre, which is in Brunswick. That's Karma Dance and the show Bent Bollywood. We'll also be covering more of that after as part of Triple Bypass's Midsummer Month. Now, don't miss out on the Representation Hour, which is on the 30th of January, with Karma Dance will be guests again to talk with Jennifer about their favourite bi characters in popular culture, as well as some of the ladies from Killjoy who had back on the show a few weeks ago to talk about Destroy the Fantasy. So that'll be a great hour of power for Midsummer, which will be very exciting. So start thinking on that now. What are some of your favourite multi-gender attracted characters in media? Don't say anything.
Tune in.
Don't spoil it. You can spoil that one, not the dance. So I suppose as we start to wrap up, there's one thing I wanted to ask. So I hear that you guys have a really beautiful connection in your artistic expression, but there is one point where there seems to be a bit of conflict.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I have to. Let's talk about Durian. Let's do that.
Oh dear.
You might have to move to opposite sides. So this seems to be a bit of a point of contention. So, Agovid, you really like food, but you're not a huge fan of the durian.
Yeah, I eat absolutely everything except durian. I thought I ate absolutely everything,
until Raina.
You met Durian.
I met, exactly. Through Raina, thanks. We were actually in Malaysia at a festival, performing at a festival there. And incidentally, it's one of the places we first tried out some of our more sort of, let's say, racy stuff. Mm. And yeah, Raina's like, oh my God, you have to try this amazing, amazing thing. So she fed me some durian and I spat it out immediately. It was disgusting. And there began our discovery of the one thing that divides us.
Yes. He has no taste.
I also hear that you like, Raina, you like to eat an entire durian before a show.
Yes.
That's how you do it. That's some power play right there.
Well, we've never passed on stage.
Yeah, but maybe in the sequel.
Something to look forward to.
Yes. We want to thank you so much for coming onto the show, particularly at this time of year. Midsummer's a really exciting time for our community, and it's really exciting that your performance is going to be showcased at Midsummer, and we're going to have the details on our sort of podcast and our Facebook page so you can get along and catch the play.
And we'll catch you guys later on the 30th to talk about some bi characters. So we'll look forward to seeing you guys again then. Break a leg, because I can say that, right? You do that for dances as well as acting?
Yep.
Okay, just check it, because it seems like people are serious for dancing. Like an actor can go out in the wheelchair, maybe not a dance.
Maybe in the conflict bit in the play there might be legs broken, I don't know.
Durian just comes out there and everything starts flying.
Nice. Right.
Thank you guys again so much. This has been Triple Bypass.
Yes, and have a great midsummer. Get to Carnival on Sunday.
Yeah, and performing.
And get to the Better
Together
Conference
too. You guys are performing on Carnival, yeah. Oh my gosh, on Sunday, what time?
One, I think.
Yeah, one.
Yeah, and we'll be roving in the afternoon into the evening. So
you'll see us right
now. Yeah,
we're costumes. Hot.
And, like, we can all vouch for that.
We'll put up photographs of the show because the show looks pretty hot too. See you guys next week.
Is depression, anxiety, or a difficult personal event affecting you or a loved one? Southeastern Private Hospital can help. With modern and discreet mental health premises, Southeastern Private has specialised private mental health care, including overnight inpatient treatment, mental health day programs, and outpatient appointments, all provided with an experienced and compassionate team. If you have private health cover and want to function at your best, get in touch today on 9271 9888 or at southeasternprivate.com.au. Joy sponsor.
The feel-good comedy music sensation is back with the much-loved original cast.
What's up, Pitches?
The Bellas reunite for the final installment of Pitch Perfect.
One last show together.
Who's with me?
Welcome to Spain, Bellas.
They're trying to intimidate us. Let's just do what we do.
A resource.
Last call, Pitches. The Bellas are back for their final call in Pitch Perfect 3 in cinemas now. Joy sponsor.
Midsummer Festival, Melbourne's fabulous queer arts and culture season is back, spanning 22 days from 14th of January to the 4th of Feb, and it's bigger, brighter and bolder than ever. Kickstart your summer at Midsummer Carnival in Alexandra Gardens, then choose from a massive lineup of over 170 hot local and international events covering comedy, music, theatre, art, film, sports and more. Check out the full program at midsummer.org.au.
Thank you, Jess. And stick around. The Local Roots is coming up right after this.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.